You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Football players have lots of cash. They spend it on cars and going out on the lash. They co-write a book about their interesting lives, even though they are only 25.
He shoots the ball, he scores.
Head the ball and
scoring the goal.
Shot the ball and dribble the ball and kick the ball to score a goal.
He shoots, he scores.
Scoring the goals.
Hello and welcome to the League Podcast. Alex Dunn here with Jason Lewis, looking ahead to the best of League One and to this weekend. There isn't much to go off, if we're being honest. Just four games in League One and four in League Two that remain, because of course it is the FA Cup third round, which the sides that have already been knocked out of that. And fingers crossed that all these games will be on. I know we've had some horrendous weather across the country in recent weeks. As things stand, which is Thursday afternoon, all games are on, as you'd expect. So hopefully they can all take place as planned. That would be nice. Hopefully we can have a winner or two. And joining me on this edition of the podcast is, of course, Jason Lewis. Good afternoon, Mr. Lewis. How's things?
I'm very well, thank you. Look, it's been a good new year so far. So hopefully we can carry that on this weekend with a few winning bets.
Fingers crossed anyway. We thought about looking at the FA Cup, but frankly, we've got, well, Lee Phelps, Dave Kellen and Derek McGovern are on the punt. They're looking at the televised games and the Premier League games. There's myself and Pete Farries on what is normally the League Podcast Championship edition. That's just above us here on the playlist. That's looking at predominantly Championship games in the FA Cup, but a few games featuring Championship clubs coming up against lower opposition. Frankly, we weren't left with much, really, in the FA Cup. So we're going to stick to our guns, focus on League One and Two. And we're going to start with Blackpool against Port Vale. Blackpool are 9-5, the draw is 23-10, and Port Vale are 6-4. Blackpool, who of course had a torrid start to the season, things have picked up a little bit, not superbly by any means, but they currently sit in 21st place, which offers them a way out, at least, of the relegation zone, and a win here, well, would take them out of there for the time being with other clubs involved in the FA Cup. But Port Vale have been up and down. They could go down, I suppose. They could similarly just sneak into the playoffs. They're 8 points off the relegation zone before this and 7 off the playoffs. So their season could still go either way. But whichever way you look at it, 6-4 will tempt a few people here based on how bad Blackpool were at the start of the season, maybe more so than they are right now, Jason.
Yeah, I think it's a possible trap that I'd be wary of falling into looking at this game, really, because Port Vale, as you can say, just they go through their phase of being a very good side, the four wins on the bounce throughout October and November, and really in Blackpool at the same time, no real consistency home and away, with back-to-back defeats in their last two games, 1-0 at Burton and 4-2 at Barnsley. But if you isolate just their home form, they've shown some real resilience and good results, because they went for a spell of October and November of only having one home game in five games. So, and they lost all five of those games, granted, but only one of them was at home. So their home record, really, their last two results at home, 2-0 win over Peterborough, very good side in the division, and a gritty 1-0 win over their relegation rivals Fleetwood. And before that came a defeat to Doncaster. But 2-0 win over another struggling side in Crewe was a big result for Blackpool. And at home, they have been getting results fairly consistently and been proving quite hard to beat. They've only played three home league games since the end of October, but with four of their next five at home, their record suggests they should pick up a few more points and climb away from the relegation zone. It's just whether they can do it here, and I think they can. 9-5 on them here is a very big price for me when they are a very good home side. Over two-thirds of their points have been taken at home this season, 17 from a possible 33 in comparison to 8. From 39 on the road. So really, and you look at Port Vale at the same time, like Blackpool, they're a much better side at home. They sit fourth best record in the home league table with 25 points from their 12 games. But away from home, they've got the worst record in the division, ironically shared with Blackpool, Fleetwood and Colchester. So after losing their last three away games, Port Vale against Coventry, Walsall and Rochdale, just two victories to their name all season away from home, I just found it difficult to back them here as the favourites at that 6-4 price. So I think Blackpool here at 9-5 is a very good price. And the way they've played, I've mentioned it before on the podcast, they have kept things tight all year, really, this season. and 18 of their 24 games so far have been under 2.5 goals. So it's not the most entertaining games you're going to see when Blackpool in action. And really just two of their 11 home games have been over 2.5. You look at that really with Port Vale as well. Their away matches have averaged exactly 2 goals per game. And both away from home and overall, more often than not, their games have been quite close affairs with the odd goal deciding it. So I think under 2.5 goals here at 8 to 11 is a very short price. But if you want to back it with a Blackpool, there's a very big pun at 9 to 2. But I think just there, you've got two options. You've got the under 2.5 goals, I think is a safe bet at 8 to 11. If I was calling that a match result in this one, I'd be backing Blackpool, just how strong they've been at home if you isolate their home form and just turn a blind eye to some of their away results, which have been pretty shocking, to be fair.
Okay, so we're going to stick with Blackpool in that one, which would have sounded a ludicrous thing to do at the start of the season, but as Jason was saying, they're not quite as bad as they once were. Next up is Rochdale against Chesterfield then. Rochdale coming into this in 9th place and in decent nick as well. Coming against Chesterfield side, who had been on a bit of a bad run of form. Their issue was scoring goals, but they kind of put that to bed last time out with a 7-1 win against Shrewsbury. I don't think any of us could have quite predicted that scoreline, but look, they're going to be coming into this absolutely flying, and they were struggling prior to that as well, Jason. Rochdale are 17-20, the draw 5-2, and Chesterfield, who, I'll just recap, coming here off the back of a 7-1 win, are 100-30. Big price on the away side?
It is a big price, but it's just whether, for me, is that a flash in the pan result against Shrewsbury is the difficult thing to tell for me, really, because I think at this stage of the season now, we're not in the early months, so we've got some long-term history to look at now for where these teams are currently at, and it's a fantastic result. Being anyone in your division 7-1 is a overwhelming achievement, but if you go further back, it ended a run of 8 games without a win, but which included a 7-game losing streak, and it's their first win since October. So I don't really want to be pessimistic about this, but I do think it could just be a possible, as I say, a one-off result for them, or it's more likely that they're going to lose this game, because Rochdale are banging form really at the moment. It's 3 games unbeaten for them, starting to score a few more goals for them really. Came through the festive period unbeaten, 2 wins and a draw. Albeit they did have a postponement at home to Crewe on Boxing Day, but really, on paper, they'd have probably won that game as well. And their record at home is steady and consistent, I think, as well as the Sky, but just 3 defeats from their 11 home games and 6 wins to the name. And Chesterfield, over the first few months of the season, they put in some great away results, 5 wins, victories at Millwall and Walsall. Scoring goals had been the problem, but gone 3 games now without scoring a goal. And over the first half of the season, they kept just 4 clean sheets. So they're not keeping games tight and they're not scoring a lot of goals. It's a difficult thing to get the results away from home. So I think Rochdale here is a short on price. When I looked up yesterday, it was even money. So it's gone down now 17-20. It's very short on the market, but it's just difficult not to back Rochdale. I really like them as a team. I think Ian Henderson at the minute is banging form. 9 league goals so far this season, but he's making up after a slow start. He scored in their last 3 matches, and really he's scored in 8 league games this season. And Rochdale have gone on to win 7 of them. So he's here anytime at 7-5. But to get some more value on a Rochdale win, I think Ian Henderson anytime and Rochdale to win this game at a big price of 2-1 would be how I'd play this one personally. I just unfortunately think for Chesterfield, it could just be a one-off result, that win over Shrewsbury. It's a great result, but they've got a tough couple of away games. They've got Wigan up next, and then they host Millwall at home. So these are going to be some more acid tests for them, really, and to see if they are turning things around.
Okay. Oldham Millwall is next up. We've got Oldham, who are in 22nd coming into this, and they're not having a good time of things, against the Millwall side, who are very, very up and down. When they're good, they are so good, as we saw with that 4-0 win at Southend just after Christmas. But when they're bad, they are pretty abject. We've seen that as well in recent weeks. In fact, it's been more bad than good of late, but they still will have our hopes of getting promoted. Not an easy game for either side, this. Oldham 23-10, the draw also 23-10, and Millwall 6-5. Millwall, without question, the better side of the two, but Oldham is going to get that stage now where it's which sides who are down there can grind a victory out, can grind a result out, and it could just end up being one of those games if Millwall aren't on it, Jason.
Yeah, I think the impetus really is all on Millwall here and how they approach this game, because they should go into this game with where they are on the table and their aspirations for this season, you'd assume they'd hope to make the playoffs at the minute. 6 points to make up, but still plenty of time to do that. And it was a barren run for them through December, really. Just one win to their name, three defeats, and they didn't make a great start to the new year with that loss at Barnsley. 2-1 defeat is a pretty shocking result, really, for a side that's expecting to be mixing it at the top end of the table, really. But and away from home, it doesn't get much better, really. It's three defeats in their last four, but as you say, when they are good, they are very good. Can be one of the best sides in the division. Outplayed Southend 4-0 on before New Year, and overall, they have been impressive on the road this season, to be fair. Despite their recent struggles, they've still got the sixth best away record in the division. So I think their main area for improvement has to be at home. They've lost 3-0 to Gillingham at home, lost to Walsall 1-0 at home, and just odd too many draws picking up here or there when in games that they should be winning, really. So they've scored in their last 10 away matches, and despite four of these being defeats, and when they've kept just two clean sheets since Halloween as home and away games together, I expect there to be goals in this one. And Oldham, it's difficult. They're going to have to try and shut up shop, I think, and hope they can get a goal on the counter here, or hope that Mill will sort of self-capitulate, really, and give them an easy chance for a mistake or something. Because since Davey Dunn's taken over as player-manager, his initial success he had, which got him the job permanently, but from his 19 games in charge thus far, it's just 3 wins, 9 draws and 7 defeats. They've got the worst home record in the division with just 1 win. And 4 draws from their 12 games at Boundary Park. And that one win came in the opening home match of the season against Fleetwood. So it's difficult to back Oldham here. And I think Millwall are just big enough price at 6-5 to be backed here. And as I said, I think there's going to be goals in this one just because you look at Oldham as well. They've scored in all their home games bar one, but just kept one clean sheet at home. So it's been a frustrating time for the Oldham fans in times when they could have picked up a few more points and they've let it slip, to be honest. So I think both teams to score here, 10-11. A way that really did interest me in this game is, though, just because the way Millwall either do turn up or have an absolute shocker, was the both score no draw. Because a win here for Oldham is very important because they haven't won since mid-November. And 3 points of how tight is the bottom is a massive thing. So I don't think they'll possibly be sitting for a draw, even though they will remain quite tight in the game and look to counter on Millwall. So I think both score no draw at 13-8 with just neither team's ability to really keep clean sheets and the fact that they do score quite a few goals despite being at sort of opposite ends of the table.
Okay, fair enough. Right, we'll move to League Two, shall we? Where, again, only the four games to, well, three games that we're going to look at, four games across League Two on Saturday. All, of course, 3 o'clock kickoffs, and the first we're going to look at is Barnet against Bristol Rovers. Barnet are 12-5, the draw also 12-5, and Bristol Rovers are 11-10. Coming into this then, Barnet, who have lost the last two to Cambridge and to Northampton, probably both games they would have expected to lose. They're in 18th place, but they shouldn't be in too much bother, partly because there's significantly worse teams than them in the league as things stand. Bristol Rovers have had a fantastic season, exceeded all expectations even, which is easy for me to say. 43 points they have, they're sitting in 5th place, they'll be keen to see that the season doesn't fizzle out, but it doesn't look like it's going to as things stand. They're winning plenty of games and winning them well, and their odds against it, Jason, that's not bad at all, is it?
Yeah, I think absolutely probably one of the pick of the outright markets available in sort of the reduced calendar of League 1 and League 2 games this weekend. When you look unbeaten in 7 games and an impressive 5 wins in there, cementing their position in the playoffs and really, if anything, also maintaining within touching distance of the top 3 automatic spots. And I think that goes above and beyond their sort of wildest dreams for this season. I think they've been happy to consolidate and push on next year for promotion. So great time for Bristol Rovers fans, but it's not going to be the easiest of games here. It's Barnet, sort of a recurring theme in this week's podcast, but Barnet, another side whose record at home and away is very different. At home, 23 points coming from 7 wins, 2 draws and just 3 defeats, is second best home record in the division, level with Oxford, Plymouth and Notts County. Although they have just 28 points to their name overall, really, away from home, they're the worst in the division, and that is why they find themselves 18th in the table. But I don't think they'll, as you say, they'll be in much trouble of dropping into the relegation zone because how poor those teams are at the bottom of the division. But I think their home record is going to be tested over the second half of the season because, as to date, they've just faced 3 of the current top 10 sides at home, and their results were 2 defeats and just 1 victory coming over Northampton, which was way back in August. So Bristol Rovers here, one of the best sides in the division, are really strong, playing some great football in the moment and scored two or more in six of their seven games in this unbeaten run. As a team, you probably back yourself if you're scoring two goals more often than not, really. So I think fared really well away from home all season. Seven wins, just two defeats from their 12 trips in League Two so far. So similar to Barnet in that they haven't played many of the top sides away from home, but their record against sides at the bottom, like Barnet, is nearly faultless. So I think it's a good price here on Bristol Rovers to win this game. And if you're just looking for something else, mentioned it last week and it landed in their game against Luton. Bristol Rovers have a knack of scoring a lot of goals in the second half of games. Another two last weekend after it being goalless in their match with Luton, and now scored 78% of their goals in the second half of matches. So Bristol Rovers to win the second half here is available at a bit of a better price of 6-4. It's landed in five of their last seven games. And really, I think, yeah, Bristol Rovers definitely the team to back here. I just think they're a stronger side than Barnet overall and got some more bigger aspirations for this season. So here, 11-10 on the outright market, I think, is just too good a price to turn down. I wouldn't steer too far away from that, really.
Okay, Bristol Rovers then the pick in that one. Crawley Cambridge is next up. Crawley 17-10, the draw 23-10, and Cambridge are 8-5. Two sides that come here off the back of heavy defeats to Portsmouth and to Wimbledon, obviously coming up against good sides there. So there's not too much wrong with that, if you like. They're both having okay seasons, but tricky one to call this, Jason.
Yeah, it's a very close game, and when I looked at the form, it was very difficult. I kind of didn't really want to have to do this game, but with the limited calendar we had, I think it's got to be Cambridge for me here, just about. I think they've won defeat at home to Wimbledon, but they've been unbeaten since the end of November before that, really, and very strong side. It's five wins in there. They've beaten Barnet, Dagenham, Plymouth as well, right at the top end of the division, Notts County and Morecambe. And it's three straightaway wins still after winning just two of their previous nine away games at the start of the season. I think this is a real positive time for Cambridge. And I think table's a bit deceiving at the moment with all the havoc caused by the floods. And so many teams got two or three games in hand, but Cambridge can definitely still consider themselves in the hunt for the playoff spots. And I think here, I think I would just sway Cambridge in this game at that 8-5 price, because I think Crawley, their form reads at home, their form reads overall, so five defeats and two wins in the last seven games, but at home they've been a bit stronger, six wins and one loss, so it's a very tricky game to call. And they're on a three-game winning streak at home at the moment, and their only home defeat since September came against Northampton, and we all know how well they're doing at the minute. So possible alternative way into this game is definitely the goals market. When you look at Crawley, it's not been short of entertainment. Their matches this season at home have averaged exactly 2.5 goals, and overall the average is 3 goals if you include their away games. 8 of their 12 home games have been over 2.5. And then you also look at Cambridge at the same time. 7 of their 12 games have landed over 2.5, scored in their last 8 matches, and out of the 25 games this season, both these ties, Cambridge have landed over 2.5 17 times and Crawley have landed at 19. So there's some very strong statistics to make that 10-11 price for at times doesn't look very attractive, look like a good offering in this one, and possibly a safer way to play it when it's difficult to split these two sides, just because how strong Crawley are at home against how well Cambridge are playing in their recent games, both home and away.
Okay, the final game we're going to look at is Accrington against Notts County. Accrington's come into this in 7th place, Notts County in 17th. And Notts County are a side that I really do struggle to warm to, Jason. I don't think that there's one time this season where I've put them up, if you like, as a selection or consider them as a nap. Accrington 10-11 at home, 5-2 the draw, and Notts County at 3-1. Which way do you see it going?
I'd back the home side in this one. And I think the reason you find it difficult to back Notts County is they've only won two games in a row this season once, and that was way back in September. So when you're looking for some consistency from a side, it's really not forthcoming. Whereas you look at Accrington, one defeat in 8 league games, which came before the new year at Northampton, although postponements at home to both Wickham and Carlisle in December means this weekend's match is their first home league game since the 2-2 draw with Newport in mid-November, really. So it's interesting for Accrington to actually see their side play at home if the pitch is playable this weekend. Four of their next five games are at home with a mixture of oppositions, really. They've got some tough games with Portsmouth and Bristol Rovers, and also, but then you match that against this weekend's game against Notts County and match of Hartlepool in a fortnight's time, really. They've got to approach some of these games in a different style. But in this one, they should be coming out, looking to attack, looking to score goals. And their home record of 4 wins, 3 draws and 2 defeats is steady. But as they've only played 9 matches at home so far this season, in comparison to some teams who've played 13, they sit 15th in the home table if you it's a bit skewed, to be honest. I think after, by the end of the month, they'll be right into the top half of that table. So really, Notts County, without a win in four league games, without a clean sheet in 10 games, it's just difficult to back them here, really, when they're just not a consistent side. But they do pop up with the odd draw that can scupper a bet against them, really. So goals are also an option in this game, I'd very much say. So Notts County, they've scored 9 of their 11 matches this season, but the results record isn't there to back them outright. So goals is the way to go. Their away matches have averaged 3 goals per game and overall 3.4 goals roughly overall in home and away matches. And 8 of their 11 matches this season have seen both teams score. You look at Accrington in Wales, scored in every home game this season, but only kept 1 clean sheet, meaning both teams to score, a common trait for them, really. So add to that that their games at home have averaged an incredible 3.7 goals, scoring 18 and conceding 15. Both teams are scoring over here at 19-20. Not a very big price, but with numbers like that, it's something you definitely want to consider this weekend. And Accrington, they're a similar sort of price, 10-11, I think. Stronger side should get the job done here against Notts County.
Okay, then. Right, then. Over to the Naps, where, obviously, in the FA Cup, I've gone for Ipswich minus a goal. They're at home to Portsmouth. That's 21-10. Pete has gone with Eastleigh to qualify against Bolton. Eastleigh are 21-10 on the outrights. They're 7-4 to qualify against struggling Bolton. What's it going to be for you, Jason?
Lots of offerings this weekend. I think there's a lot of favourites that are getting really attractive outright prices, like Bristol Rovers, but I'm going to go into League One. I really like how Rochdale are playing at the moment. And as I said, I think Chesterfield's result was a bit of a flash in the pan. Really like how Ian Henderson's playing at the moment, so I'm going to back a big Ian Henderson anytime win cast here at 2-1, which is my nap this weekend.
Okay. Ian Henderson to score anytime in a Rochdale win at 2-1. Obviously, we can't put that up as a treble with the win cast, if you like. But Ipswich minus a goal at 11-5, or, well, it actually was 21-10, now 11-5. Eastleigh to qualify at 7-4. That double is almost 8-1. We know that your nap is Henderson and Rochdale, Jason, but if we say Henderson any time at 7-5, maybe for the treble.
Yeah, I'd play that better than the Rochdale win.
Exactly, that's 20-1. So a bit of value to be had there. Best of luck with your picks this week, Jason. We'll be back next week with a full programme of League 1 and 2 action. But until then, best of luck and we'll talk to you soon.
Yep, looking forward to it. Hopefully there's some magic in the cup this weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.